You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday, presented, of course, by DraftKings. And guess what? The wisdom is coming from yours truly. Been talking about this, been waiting for it. Now that we are a week into the official start of free agency, although it's been about 9 days, I'm going to go through every team, including yours, almost like a Power Rankings Tuesday during the season, with just my snapshot thoughts of what your team has done or not done so far in free agency. You guys know I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Led me to get some media gigs, which are awesome, like CBS and Westwood One and the Philadelphia Eagles, and obviously filling in for Dan Patrick and doing stuff on different radio stations and all these different podcasts. I thought Fezzik was phenomenal on the Even Money podcast yesterday, giving you tips for how to fill out your bracket. You definitely want to listen or watch youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL to Steve Fezzik on Even Money podcast yesterday. Plus, he had several teams that he's significantly upgraded or downgraded in the NFL in terms of season win totals based on what they've done in free agency so far. So multiple reasons to check out Steve Fezzik today. Multiple reasons to check out the Fantasy Feast today as well, because Joe Dolan, we're talking about the impact of these moves from a fantasy perspective, and we're starting today with quarterbacks. You're going to want to listen or watch that as well. Love those of you that check us out on social media. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Very easy way for you to win. Assign something from me this week is just engage with us on any social media platform. It matters a lot to us. Or just rate and review the show. A lot of you still haven't rated and reviewed this show or Fantasy Feast or College Draft or Even Money or whatever. Another great way to have me send you guys something, just once you do it, email me, ross@rostucker.com. I'd say big show time, Jack, but there is no big show. It's time to get into it.
The big show.
All right, Ross, we'll start with the AFC East. What are you thinking about the Buffalo Bills?
You know what? I'm going to say something first here before we do this. And I'm excited about this. I am. But I'm going to make this my Labatt take of the week. I do one every week. It's presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Canadian Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. We're past the first wave of free agency. We're past maybe even the second wave of free agency. The point I would make is that some of the best free agents for the 2024 season are still available. And definitely some of the best value free agents for this upcoming season are still available. I don't know who it'll be. Maybe it'll be Ryan Tannehill at quarterback when somebody else gets hurt. Justin Simmons or Micah Hyde at safety. Could be J.K. Dobbins at running back if he's healthy. D.J. Humphries on the O-line. I mean, look, how about just like Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy? Both those guys didn't get signed till August and September last year, and they were difference-making players for the Baltimore Ravens. My point is, there's other guys out there, right? Connor Williams on the O-line, Ngakoue off the edge. Maybe it's Xavien Howard at corner. Free agency's not over. Roster building is not over. Some of the most impactful and definitely most valuable free agents from this class still haven't been signed yet.
So what are you thinking about the Bills here?
All right, so for the Bills, they have maybe had, Jack, as much turnover as any other team out there, right? I mean, they bring in Trubisky and Matt Collins and Curtis Samuel, and they re-sign guys like David Edwards and Epinesa and Daquan Jones and Taron Johnson got an extension. But they lost some guys too. I mean, it feels like a changing of the guard, right? Where No more Mitch Morris at center. They have two new safeties more than likely. I know Micah Hyde's still out there. I just referenced that, but Poyer signed with the Dolphins. Feels like the most turnover the Bills have had in a while. They're replacing Gabe Davis with Curtis Samuel. Maybe this is what they need. Maybe they needed to shake it up a little bit.
Speaking of which, Miami Dolphins, what are you thinking there?
So that is interesting because it felt like they were losing a lot of guys early, right? I mean, you looked around and Robert Hunt, you know, one of their guards was gone. They still haven't re-signed Connor Williams. They must not be feeling real good about his health because instead they signed Aaron Brewer to play center. They're kind of throwing, you know, numbers, I guess you'd say, at the O-line with Isaiah Wynn. They just signed Jack Driscoll. You know, they want another edge guy, so they're bringing in Shaq Barrett. I think the big one, though, for me is that's a tough loss of Christian Wilkins, man. He's like arguably their best player on defense. That was tough. It's hard for me to say the Dolphins will be better after they lose Christian Wilkins.
New era, New England Patriots.
Right, and they're trying to get value. They're trying to get numbers and value, right? So Brissett is sort of their bridge quarterback. I still believe they'll draft a quarterback, but if they don't, maybe they'll trade down and get a bunch of picks to try to make the roster better because it's not a good roster. I mean, you can't really debate Belichick as a coach, but man, he's done a poor, poor job with that roster. They did bring back Hunter Henry. They want to have another tight end, so it'll be Austin Hooper will be opposite Hunter Henry. They tried to go a little bit of value at wide receiver with KJ Osborne and Kendrick Bourne. They bring in Antonio Gibson at running back. I do think it was significant that they kept Onwenu because they needed somebody to be able to count on at offensive tackle, and Onwenu will be their right tackle. These reports about Uche turning down a lot of money to stay, I don't think I really understand, but we shall see. We'll see if Okorafor can make some plays for them too.
Team made a splash yesterday, New York Jets.
Mike Williams. Yeah, you know what I really like about the Jets is how if they stay healthy, they've fortified the offensive line. I mean, John Simpson at left guard, Morgan Moses at right tackle, Tyron Smith at left tackle. Now, it's a big if with Tyron Smith to stay healthy, but guess what? They're paying him like that. They're paying him like he's not getting that much money. He needs to play in the games to get a lot of the money. I like Tyrod as the backup there behind Rodgers. And Mike Williams, I'd love to know what the up to $15 million is, but you know, they look like they're better on the O-line and they give Rodgers that kind of big bodied receiver that he likes and a downfield threat to go with obviously what they have in Garrett Wilson. The Jets have a chance to be good. They're all in and they need to be all in.
We switch up to the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, they re-signed the guy they really wanted to re-sign, right? And that's Madubuike. That's the guy they felt like they could not afford to lose, but they lost a lot of other guys. This happens to the Ravens all the time. And if you notice, they don't often sign free agents this time of year from other teams because they love getting comp picks. The Ravens love them some comp picks, but they brought back Madubuike. But think about all the guys they lost. I mean, Patrick Queen and Geno Stone, a couple of starting offensive linemen, three of them now. Zeitler, their right guard, you know, obviously the left guard, Simpson, the right tackle, Morgan Moses, who they traded. They did bring in Derrick Henry, but they've been stockpiling all these O linemen with these comp picks over the years. Those guys better be ready to play.
What do you think about the Cincinnati Bengals?
I like Zach Moss. As a running back signing after the Mixon trade, I think Zach Moss can play, and he's cheaper than Mixon and younger. Gesicki, they wanted another receiving threat at tight end. That makes sense to me. This T. Higgins situation, we'll see how that plays out. They obviously were not happy with their safety play last year. They think that's a big reason why the defense dropped off. So that's why they brought back Von Bell and signed Geno Stone, who clearly, you know, had a big year for the Ravens, has a nose for the football.
Another team that made a big move yesterday, Cleveland Browns.
Boy, I don't understand that. I mean, you trade two picks for Jerry Jeudy, and then he gets $41 million guaranteed at signing, which means essentially his first 2 years are guaranteed at signing. They must have really, really high hopes for him, because I don't think he did enough in Denver, in my mind, to merit that contract. They obviously think he's going to have a huge year, and they want to make sure that he's still under contract. They did bring back Za'Darius Smith and Shelby Harris and Maurice Hurst. I mean, a lot of it was just re-signing guys they already had. Then they brought in some off-the-ball backers, including Jordan Hicks, who's a Jim Schwartz favorite.
Pretty active team has been the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I think it's hard to not argue that they're better at quarterback, right? I mean, even if Kenny Pickett ends up being a good player in the NFL, to have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I know they say Russell Wilson is the starter, but that's just as long as he's playing well. If he's playing well, they'll leave him in there. If he starts to struggle, then they would go with Justin Fields. Patrick Queen, they've been struggling to get off the ball, run and hit linebacker for a while in Pittsburgh, which used to be one of their foundations. And so they really wanted to, they had to pay. They couldn't draft anymore. They had to pay to get it.
We'll start the AFC South with the Houston Texans.
Before we get to the AFC South, I know a lot of people are going to be watching March Madness this weekend. Listen, DiGiorno knows that planning a watch party on a budget isn't easy. You need the perfect setting, perfect squad, and the perfect eats. Luckily, you're a Game Time mastermind. And you know that grabbing DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza can bring home a dub because it's packed with half a pound of cheese, sauce, other toppings, comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call. Grab a DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza from the grocery store today. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. It's also delicious. It's called Labatt Blue Light. I will be having several of those with, I think, probably my family watching basketball this weekend. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Where are we at, Jack?
The Houston Texans.
Very active. Bringing in Joe Mixon. I think Nick Caserio looks at him as a Corey Dillon type, a banger at this point of his career. It's interesting how, you know, they let Grenard go, but they brought in Danielle Hunter, who I think has a higher upside. I like them bringing back Dalton Schultz. Like the Danico Autry signing. That guy can play as well as Azeez Al-Shaair. Look, they're making their own team better, and then they're making another team in their division worse.
Next, we got the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, they kept Michael Pittman, which was a big one. I liked bringing in Flacco after they lost Minshew in free agency. They re-signed core guys that they really like Zaire Franklin, Kenny Moore. I'm not sure, though, you look at the Colts and think that they've really gotten better, right? They've been rumored with some of these guys, but they really have just re-signed their own guys.
What about Jacksonville Jaguars?
So Morris at center, I think, is a pretty good player as long as he can stay healthy. They obviously like Ezra Cleveland at left guard. They're trying to fortify the interior offensive line. I like bringing in Eric Armstead at D-tackle. Awesome player. A really good person. To pair him up with Josh Allen on the franchise tag, that's big. And we'll see what Gabe Davis can do. Obviously, they're paying him a lot of money.
Another pretty active team, the Tennessee Titans.
Right, Rand Carthon, he's going for some value. They wanted an upgrade at center over Aaron Brewer. They think Lloyd Cushenberry from Denver represents that. The Calvin Ridley signing, boy, that sounds like a lot of money to me, man. I mean, Jack, that sounds like a lot. $50 million fully guaranteed, $92 million. Awuzier, I think, was a good player at times in Cincinnati. At times he wasn't. He paid a lot of money for Kenneth Murray, who never really, I thought, did all that much when he was in L.A. with the Chargers. I don't know. I'm not so sure about some of these Titans moves.
Start the AFC West with the Denver Broncos.
They haven't done anything. All they've done is lose players. Lose guys like Jeudy and Russell Wilson and Cushenberry. I mean, I don't know. I don't see where they've gotten better, that's for sure.
Next, Kansas City Chiefs.
So the big one was bringing back Chris Jones. I think Hollywood Brown is a good fit. for Mahomes. I love them bringing back our guy, Drew Tranquil. I'll be curious to see how things play out with Legarius Sneed. Legarius Sneed's kind of like in the Hassan Reddick situation where it feels like they're going to go somewhere else, but it hasn't happened yet.
Las Vegas Raiders are up next.
I'd say their biggest move was, the two biggest moves are bringing in Minshew, right, who has a pretty good chance to be the starter there. $15 million fully guaranteed. Good for him. And then Christian Wilkins, gigantic contract, but he's the type of guy that you bet on. Like, he's the type of guy that you pay a lot of money to. Awesome player, incredible person. Love that. That's a statement signing by the Raiders.
And we'll wrap up the AFC with the LA Chargers.
Kind of just value picks, right? Will Disley, Gus Edwards. They're going to run the ball. Disley's a blocking tight end, the Gus bus. I love the Chargers mentality.
Moving to the NFC, the most active team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice. I like when you try to deadpan your jokes there, Jack. Dude, they got nothing. I mean, how do you argue that the Cowboys have gotten any better at all? You don't. But I said earlier, maybe they'll get some value free agents. But they've already lost some key contributors, Tony Pollard and Tyron Smith. I probably wouldn't have paid Pollard that much either, to be honest. I'd probably rather draft the guy. And I understand why they moved on from Tyron Smith with the injuries.
New York Giants up next.
Well, the big move, obviously, was Brian Burns. And considering what people were trying to trade for him earlier, it feels like a really, really good move by the Giants. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of money, but now you have Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Burns on the same D-line. Those guys can be nasty. People were trying to give up two firsts and a second for Burns a year ago, and the Panthers wouldn't take it. Hilarious. They got better at guard, I think, with Illuminor and Runyon. We'll see what they play Illuminor. Not bad from the Giants.
Got the Philadelphia Eagles.
Very active. Biggest contract was just re-signing Landon Dickerson, their left guard, giving him that extension. Saquon Barkley, that's an interesting one, right? That's out of character for the Eagles to give him that much money. But I think they think with their offensive line that some of those plays will be touchdowns. And then defense, they're kind of throwing numbers at some of these positions, right? Zach Bond, Oren Burks, Devin White, three linebackers. Aquara you could put in that category as well. And they feel like they know what they have in Gardner Johnson.
Next is the Washington Commanders.
I like some of the things the Commanders have done. You know, you get a solid center in Biadasz. I think Alec Reddy can get it done at guard for you without paying a ton of money. Same with Ertz at tight end. You know, Eckler. If you look at what they've done, they brought in a bunch of guys. Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, that'll probably start, that are good players that they didn't pay a ton of money for. I like what the Commanders have done.
Go to the NFC North, the Chicago Bears.
Well, they clearly have gotten better at the skill position players, right? With bringing Keenan Allen for only a fourth-round pick, I like that. DeAndre Swift, I thought, did some really good things for the Eagles. Along the offensive line, they wanted to get some options there. So Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates are guys that can play center and on the inside for them. I think they like their tackles. The big one, I thought, was bringing back Jalen Johnson, who played so well for them at corner.
Detroit Lions up next.
So the Lions, you know, they lost Jonah Jackson, right, who got big money elsewhere, but they replaced him with Zeitler, who's not a long-term answer, but can get it done in the short term. They have Glasgow to play at the other guard spot. DJ Reader is probably the most interesting signing to me here, right? Like, they need Reader and Carlton Davis to play well for them to be able to get to where they want to go.
What do you think about the Green Bay Packers?
Well, the big guy they really wanted was Xavier McKinney, and they got him. Four-year deal, $68 million, $25 million in year one for Xavier McKinney. You can tell which teams are highly valuing the safety spot at this point with some of the money that they're willing to pay. So McKinney was thought to be the number one safety prospect out there, and the Packers, they paid to give Josh Jacobs almost $15 million in year one. They obviously think he's a pretty decent upgrade over Aaron Jones, who they were trying to make it take a pay cut. He's obviously a younger player. We'll see. I always liked Aaron Jones and thought he was really good in that Packers offense. I'll be curious to see how Jacobs fits.
Next, we got the Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings. Another one, Jack, where it's kind of hard to argue that they've gotten better, right? I mean, we talked about this on the Even Money podcast with Steve Fezzik. Now, it's kind of a rebuilding time, it seems like, for the Vikings, and maybe they're going to trade up. They just got another first-round pick. It sounds like they'll trade up to try to get one of these quarterbacks. They better be right. They could have had Kirk Cousins for three or four more years and been winning double-digit games and in the playoffs. Now, instead, they're Sam Darnold, and they're bringing in Aaron Jones on a one-year deal. It just kind of feels like it's a rebuilding time. You know, I like Grenard, and I guess they feel like that he's a cheaper version of Danielle Hunter. It's still kind of hard to argue that the Vikings have gotten any better.
Next is the Atlanta Falcons.
I like what the Falcons have done on offense, right? Their defense was better than people think a year ago. They're actually sneaky decent on defense. The big one is Cousins, right? I mean, he immediately becomes probably the best quarterback in that division, although I know Baker had a good year. And then it's not just him. They bring in Darnell Mooney. They bring in Rondell Moore. They're trying to give Cousins some legitimate weapons to work with.
Next is the Carolina Panthers.
They really, really felt like they needed and wanted to get some powerful guards in there to protect Bryce Young, to protect the pocket. Robert Hunt, wow. 5-year, $100 million deal. Damian Lewis, 4-year, $53 million. They both get over $26 million fully guaranteed. Robert Hunt got $26.5 million signing bonus. I mean, it's wild what guards get these days. I think Yosh Nijman will actually be an upgrade at one of the tackle spots and gives them some versatility there. And I like the Deontay Johnson trade. They needed to get a legit receiver, and Deontay Johnson is absolutely that. And then they brought in some guys on the back end of the defense as well. They need DJ Wanham to play well now that they lost Burns.
New Orleans Saints up next.
The biggest, most interesting thing there is Chase Young. 1 year, $13 million, fully guaranteed, but he has to have neck surgery. That would be concerning. I mean, they're obviously not that concerned about it. That would be concerning to me. You're going to give a guy $13 million fully guaranteed before he has neck surgery?
Next, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, so their big moves obviously were taking care of their own, right? You bring back Mike Evans. You bring back Baker Mayfield. They're trying to get some cost-effective options on the O-line with Bredesen and Opetta. They brought back Jordan Whitehead to play safety after he was, you know, with the Jets, and they want to get some long-term extensions signed with some of their guys like Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield Jr.
We'll go to the NFC West with the Arizona Cardinals.
They haven't really made that many splash moves. It's been a lot more bargain shopping. They did get an upgrade at corner with Sean Murphy Bunting, but other than that, it's been pretty cost-effective spending, I would say, from the Cardinals.
Next is the Los Angeles Rams.
Another team highly valuing the guard spot. Kevin Dotson gets big money. Jonah Jackson gets really big money. They bring back Darius Williams to play corner. Not a good look for the Jags to have to have released Darius Williams. He played well. The Rams were happy to scoop him back up.
San Francisco 49ers.
I guess their big moves were just supplementing the D-line, right? Leonard Floyd, Etor Gross-Matos, the trade for Malik Collins. You know, that's kind of the big moves that they've made so far. They did bring in Josh Dobbs. He'll be kind of the Sam Darnold replacement.
And last but not least, Seattle Seahawks.
Re-signed Leonard Williams, who, that guy's got to go in Andrew Brandt's Sports Business Hall of Fame. He has made a ton of money. And then Sam Howell will be interesting to see the Geno Smith-Sam Howell dynamic. That was fun. I'm glad we went over that, Jack. I'm also glad that a lot of you are going to listen to the Fantasy Feast podcast today. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. You guys know it's the best Mother's Day gift, best anniversary gift, best birthday gift, just best loved one gift, period. It's an automatic signed autograph for me if you get any loved one in your life a story from MyFrontPageStory.com. I like BackOfficeSchedule.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sporticulture, and Pizza Boy Brewing.